Welcome to the Chirpin' Birds podcast. We are back as free agency has, for the most part, resolved at least our free agency draft in a landslide victory. Mike has defeated me for the second year in a row, I believe. We'll get into all the exciting signings that the Eagles made and a number of other contract news as we march along towards the 2024 NFL draft. It is just before draft season. So before we get started, Mike, how you doing?
I'm doing well. I know we haven't really talked for most 2 weeks here, but I am generally feeling like the Eagles did a good job so far this offseason. I think they got a few exciting signings, and I kind of like the moves they're making along the margins. Obviously we'll get into the specifics of it, but like right at the top, like what's your kind of broad strokes of what you think the Eagles have done over the past 10 days?
I think Howie's done a great job so far. A good mix of positions of need and exciting signings, you know, risky moves, chances on, you know, 1 year deals, that kind of thing. A lot of things have been addressed. I don't think they're done, whether that's more signings or the draft, but it's a great start. There are a number of questions for sure, but I think you can't really complain too much about the signings they've made, and more than sensible. I think some have been exciting. So I'm happy with the offseason for sure. A number of signings are sort of not super exciting, but definitely helpful going into training camp, and others are. Could be, you know, season-defining signings. So good mix of those two ends and a few in between. But I'm excited about this offseason. It gives the Eagles a new look, which I think after last year ended, there's a bit of staleness to it. And obviously with Jason Kelce and Fletcher Cox retiring, there was always going to be a new look to the Eagles, but not in an exciting way. So a few of the signings, definitely very exciting. Some upside players, some proven players, and they extended, you know, they started on their extension of their own guys, so we're still waiting on a few of those. But overall, I'm in agreement with you. I think Howie's done a great job, and I think he needs to continue making moves. And once you know, the draft is about a month away, so once we get into draft coverage, we'll see what holes he can fill in the draft. But so far, I don't really have any complaints at all.
Yeah, and before we start digging in on the actual moves, I do just want to call out, because I think there is like a stark comparison between the Eagles and the Cowboys so far. And that's not to say that, you know, just because the Cowboys have pretty much sat on their hands that they're going to suck this year. Like, I'm not saying that. But as far as, like, off-season encouragement and, like, momentum and, like, kind of reworking the roster, like, I do feel some pity for the Cowboys fans out there. Like, their big move was bringing back a veteran linebacker on a one-year deal with a very obvious connection to the head coach and Eric Kendricks. It's just kind of funny that like they haven't done much of anything, and like there's all the chatter about Dak and what his new contract's going to be. Like, it's inevitable, but like the Cowboys are like willing to drag this out. Their head coach on a 1 year contract, like They haven't like their whole kind of their core is like on a very short timeline, and I feel like there's been a few guys who have left, and it, just to compare it to what the Eagles have done, it's like I am glad we have a like creative, aggressive, proactive general manager. Like sometimes Howie gets himself into trouble, but like I think that's like the risk of making good moves along the way. And let's talk about the extensions before we get into like the external signings. So did
Well,
you
before we get into this, I just want to address something you said at the top of that, which was you have pity on Cowboy fans, which I had to acknowledge that because I most certainly do not, and I was a little surprised at that sentence. Do you care to explain yourself?
Well, so I don't mean it too literally, but I do think that there is like a communal excitement of the new NFL year and the renewed optimism that like every team gets, and the fans kind of like work themselves into a new state of mind of like this year it's going to be different. And I feel like generally most teams are fans of teams get to feel a little bit of that, like they're doing everything they need to get back. And I'm not saying I truly pity the Cowboys fans, but like they haven't had like a crumb of that as
That's
far as
true.
like it's the new year and like things are looking up. The
Yeah,
Cowboys
well,
fans are like, we haven't done anything.
there was the news that Dak restructured to open up. It was like 3 or 5 million in cap space. So, quite the restructure there that he worked out with the team to give himself some help. So, good on Dak for that. And yeah, let's get into. Although the other NFC East teams, I think the Commanders and the Giants both have, whether their moves are going to pan out or not, they've been very active in free agency, and I think the Giants certainly got better with the Burns trade, and the
Yeah, that's fair.
Commanders made a lot of signings. So the Eagles are in a position, they're in a window to contend for the Super Bowl. So it doesn't not matter for it, or I should say it does matter for the Eagles, as they have to play the Giants and the Commanders twice a year, and those games just got tougher. But I would still say that those two teams are a notch below the Eagles. So in some ways it's less concerning than if the Cowboys made a lot of those moves. And the Cowboys, I think, have the least, or they're at least bottom five in cap space in the league anyway. So I don't know that they were ever going to make a lot of moves this free agency period. But the Commanders and the Giants both did for sure get better, and not necessarily in a holistic way. I don't know how many wins I would say that their signings added, but the quarterback question for both teams is there, and if you're in a quarterback uncertainty, you're definitely a middle of the pack, or in the bottom half of the league. So I wouldn't say I'm concerned for the division or anything like that, but these teams getting better in the division could mean that the Eagles will have a tougher time, and it's hard to beat the same team twice. The Eagles did beat Washington twice last year, but one of those was an overtime game. They were both tough games. So those teams are teams to watch, and I think you look around the division, the Eagles weren't in the same realm as the Cowboys sitting on their hands at all. I think the Eagles kept pace with the division as far as signing people, but they're definitely far and away better than the Giants and the Commanders. So just something to watch as we enter the draft. But yeah, the extensions we can get into. I think the biggest one was the Landon Dickerson contract, 4-year extension, $84 million. He's the highest paid guard in NFL history. I think the cap hits don't increase until the latter 2 years. He's like $13 million or something a year. I think I saw for the first couple years, but he must still be on his rookie deal this year. I think this kicks in next year. So good to extend him. And that was not a surprise that they were going to extend him. That was coming. And I think now we're just waiting on the Devontae Smith extension was the other big one.
Yeah. So on Landon, he's got the last year of his rookie deal. He's got 4 new years, so he'll be an Eagle at least the next 5 years coming. And he did reset the guard market, but we saw shortly after free agency opened that I think it was like Robert Hunt, and I'm not sure where he was leaving, but I think he went to the Dolphins. He either was with the Dolphins or is currently now with the Dolphins, but I think he got something like absurd, like 5 for 100. And like Dickerson's a much better guard than him. So like, I do think in a certain light, this looks like it's a hefty deal. And obviously it's, you know, the highest paying AAV in the league, but I do think it's going to end up being a good value signing with the cap increasing, getting out in front of the market. Like, not comparing this to the QB market, but like the guard market, I think, is like swelling, and soon it won't look so like gaudy. I think that's just like the price of a very good interior offensive lineman. So I think it's a good signing. I do think in retrospect, it is a really nice sign that Dickerson's health issues coming into his draft was, you know, it's nice to see that he's kind of like squashed that. He has been pretty reliable, hasn't had any significant injuries, and obviously the league is, you know, respecting his game with, I think, 2 Pro Bowls at this point. So nice to see him get rewarded. I think he's an ascending player as far as like the leadership role. So with Kelsey leaving, I think he's kind of a guy that'll assume more responsibility, and you know, people probably look to him as one of those guys that, you know, fingers crossed, he can be one of those like BG, Jason Kelsey, like Lane Johnson, like fixtures for the franchise to come. So yeah, congrats to Landon. I think that was good business. And then another Eagle getting top dollar for his position is Jake Elliott. He got a contract extension, 4 years, $24 million, which ties him with Justin Tucker for the highest paid kicker in the NFL. So he's getting 6 a year. And I think you can say a lot of the same things about Jake Elliott. Like, it is completely deserved. He is super reliable, and we knew that sooner or later he was going to get what he was owed, and it's nice to see a kicker get rewarded. I think he's been with the team like a while now, so like I know he's not on the field as frequently since he's a special teams player, but like on those snaps where he is out there, like, he has been money. And as much as you can be like a leader as a kicker, I think he's probably kind of earned that clout in the locker room. So Eagles rewarding 2 of their not like tentpole players, because I'm not sure how much Elliott can be there, but like two important players.
And yeah, Jake Elliott is on his way to being the best kicker in Eagles history. I think he may already be. Obviously David Akers being the other one of note, but you know, Jake Elliott has a Super Bowl, and now he had the has the 4-year extension, so he'll be an Eagle for like 10 years, pretty much. So.
I don't know how many people have a Jake Elliott jersey, but I feel like we're gonna start seeing more of them. Like now
Yeah, they might
he's
retire
like
four.
firmly like an Eagle that is obviously a big time player. So he'll be sticking around in Midnight Green, and then two other Eagles, part of their kicking operation, that is long snapper Rick Lovato. He gets a 1-year extension, and then Breda Mann, he got a 2-year extension. So the special teams triumvirate back, and that is good because Michael Clay had a good unit last year, and obviously these three guys were a big part of that. So let's talk
Yep.
about, I think I have it in chronological order here, but free agency started last, not last Monday, but 2 Mondays ago at noon. That was the legal tampering window, and these deals didn't become official until like 48 hours later. But on the opening day of free agency, the Eagles, as it was rumored, had interest in Bryce Huff. They end up signing him to a 3-year deal, $51.1 million contract. Your thoughts?
I think it's an exciting signing. At the time, the rumors of Josh Sweat and Reddick getting traded made it concerning because Bryce Huff is a really nice player. He's only been asked to pass rush. I don't know if he's gonna be a situational player on passing downs only or how they're gonna use him, but it was not a confidence building to have just Bryce Huff with Nolan Smith and Brandon Graham as the pass rushers. So as a player himself, I he's young. I mean, I think Josh Sweat's a better player right now, but I think he has a potential to become one of the best pass rushers in the league, or at least a very good one. So I like the deal, but I didn't like it at the time as the big edge rusher plan, especially because Nolan Smith's still young and Brandon Graham's, in his last year. So I wouldn't have felt good about having the Bryce Huff being our premier pass rusher, and then potentially a draft pick being the on the other side. So yeah, spoiler, Josh Sweat restructured his contract, so that made the Bryce Huff signing better in my mind. And he has a lot of upside. He didn't play the majority of the snaps for the Jets last year and still had double-digit sacks. So I like the Bryce Huff signing. I think there's a lot of upside with him, and whether or not I don't know much about him as a person. So I think his potential is a top edge rusher. So I think it's a good risk that Howie made to sign him, and 3-year deal's pretty good. He'll be I think he's 26 now, so he'll be around Hassan Reddick's age when the deal's done, and I think they need more edge help, and he's a good pass rusher, so I'm happy with it. I just think him being the only top pass rusher was not a good plan moving forward, but they restructured Josh Sweat, and who knows what else they'll do, and if Nolan Smith will become a difference maker this year as well. So they have a lot of options on the edge.
Yeah, and I think a report came out saying that like Eagles were like one of five or six teams that were like very interested in him. So he was a hot commodity. I think he and Jonathan Greenard were kind of the two pass rushers, younger pass rushers who had production recently, who were kind of thought as like future investments and players who had like a projectable future rather than like somebody that you were gonna like shell out a ton of money on like a shorter deal. So I think the Eagles certainly got like one of the, I'm not saying he was like the prize of free agency, but he was certainly a guy that a lot of people were interested in. And you mentioned the Josh Sweat dynamic. We are still kind of waiting for the other shoe to drop in Hassan Reddick. I feel like all of the beat reporters have strongly indicated that there's no way you can have all three of these guys come back. And who knows? I mean, if you're able to get Josh Sweat to agree to terms, and assuming that the whole reason there hasn't been any news is that Reddick hasn't found a party who wants to pay him what he thinks he's worth. Like maybe they could have like a year where like they have all three. Now that's still probably more unlikely, but I'm just kind of nervous of what the concession the Eagles are willing to make for the trade. Because it seems like at this point, all indications are that the trade return for a potential Hassan Reddick is going to be like meager. And I think you could look at the Brian Burns trade, which obviously it's very different, but like I think it's worth at least looking at because he's a, so Burns younger, obviously productive, more thought of as like he has way more future than Reddick, and he got a massive contract. He got 5 years up to 150 with 76 guaranteed, so that is like top of the league. Like that's super hefty. But all the Giants gave up were 2024 fifth. The Panthers traded Brian Burns that 2024 fifth in exchange for, so this is what the Giants gave up for him, a 2024 second, and we know that second's pretty high, so like it's kind of like a late first. Like that's how bad the Giants are compared to like what the Eagles would have in their second round, and two fifth round picks and then a conditional fifth rounder next year. So basically a second round pick, a good one, and three fifths. And obviously Hassan Reddick's in the last year of his deal. To me, that's just like, I'm sorry, you can't, like, it needs to be better than like a fourth round pick, and it can't be like an ugly third round pick. Like it needs to be like at least top half of the third round this year, or like try to do a player for player swap, because I think you might be able to get more value for that. But like I said, maybe Howie can pull something off and get Reddick and Sweat back for one last go as we transition to Bryce Huff and Nolan Smith. What are your, do you want to make a prediction for what you think happens with Reddick?
I think they'll probably trade him for I don't know. It's tough because he is under contract, so I don't know if they risk, you know, when Zach Ertz wanted a new deal and he sort of made a little bit of a scene in training camp, and then he played for, the first half of the year, whatever it was, and then they traded him to Arizona. That's sort of how I see this trending, because I don't know that the Eagles would trade him for, a fourth round, fourth and a sixth or something like that. And they're not gonna ex I don't know that that Reddick will take less money to stay at this point. So I kind of see it happening where he starts the season with the team.
Really?
I mean, he's under contract, and it doesn't seem like it's a cap issue. I don't know. It also depends what other moves they need to make, and if they can move him for maybe less than they'd want. But it gives them the cap relief to sign, two players or whatever. I don't know. It's hard to it's hard to predict at this point.
I think the trouble
And it's
comes
a
from Bryce Huff just got a new deal. He's making about 17 per year. Hassan Reddick has been playing on the contract that he signed 2 years ago. I believe it was 3 years, 45, so 15 a year. And both years he's well outperformed those specific AAVs. And now he's got just one last year, so not a lot of guaranteed money. I just think that for him to come back, he's not going to be doing it on his current contract. He's going to have a restructured deal that'll either give him another year or more money in the final year. Similar to, well, actually, not similar to Josh Sweat. Josh Sweat's restructuring was pretty much a pay cut. And I'm not too clear on what actually happened because he was on the final year of his deal, but it seems like they guaranteed some portion of money, but it lowered something. I think it's pretty clear that Reddick's not gonna be a happy camper seeing that they brought in a new guy who has been asked to do less, who is younger, but who hasn't been as productive the past 2 years. I think that's just kind of a delicate situation. So I think if you bring him back, you got to make him happy. But
yeah, it's interesting, and there aren't too many, from what I see, there aren't too many, reports on what the Eagles are gonna do. Or right there isn't. It's not really playing out in publicly. There isn't really a big back and forth. There was the report a few weeks ago that the Cowboys were interested in the trade, but that doesn't make any sense with the Zach Ertz situation. The Eagles were, I think, entering that 4-win season, if I remember correctly. So trading him to, I mean, it is out of the division, but still an NFC team. Trading him to the Cardinals wasn't really a big factor for them. But now that the Eagles are competing, it would make sense to trade him to an AFC team. And the Texans just signed Danielle Hunter. I'm just thinking of teams that lost edge rushers, but they lost Greenard, and they signed Hunter. So I'm sure there's other teams that could use Reddick, but he probably wants to go to a team that's competing also. So I don't know how many teams that would fit the criteria for: one, being a competitive team; two, willing to pay Reddick; and three, out of the conference. So there's a lot of sort of deal breaker type things in my mind, and the Eagles have to contend with losing Raddick's production. So I do see kind of no news until maybe there will be rumblings prior to the draft, and then if he's still with the team after the draft, then I would imagine he starts the season with the Eagles. I don't know what cutting him would do. I'm sure they wouldn't do that, but if it saves on cap space and they can sign, like, maybe there's another free agent that we didn't have a shot with, or you know, a trade that becomes available if we have the cap space for, I don't know. I really don't know. There's too many moving parts right now, and there haven't been any big definitive storylines, so it is really hard to tell at this point what will happen with Reddick.
Yeah, I think that's probably the biggest remaining internal business the Eagles got to take care of this offseason. We move on.
So
for the second year straight, the Eagles lost a free agent to the Bears. Last year, that was TJ Edwards. This year, it was DeAndre Swift signing with the Bears on a 3-year, $24 million deal. So a good contract, admittedly, for DeAndre Swift. He gets paid after a good season. That opens up the hole for the Eagles to sign former Giant Saquon Barkley on a 3-year, $37.75 million deal. Tell us what you're thinking.
Yeah, this is the most exciting signing, I think, of the offseason. It's just, it's so interesting how the signing of one player totally changes your whole perspective on the offense. Like, the offense has pretty much been the same personnel the last, you know, three seasons outside of running back. So you put in Saquon and it's like you totally forget or put aside or whatever you want to say how inept the offense was at the end of last year, and it just all the you know, discourse around it is just like how incredible the offense is going to be. It seems like everyone ignoring how bad they were last year, especially even with, like, I mean, DeAndre Swift's not bad by any means, so Saquon can just, like, do everything, and with Kellen Moore, I just think the offense is going to be completely different now, and different in a good way, and it's just wild how one player can make everyone, like, excited again, and I think he's the most exciting signing. I was really excited to you know, see that they signed him, and it sort of erases all the concern of locker room issues and, you know, all the AJ Brown stuff. I feel like got swept under the rug after the signing, and it just seems like this one signing was sort of a new leaf being turned over for the offense. So I don't care about the money. I think Howie, I think it was structured in a way that keeps it low this year and next year. I think it was a move that makes a lot of sense. He was pretty healthy the last few years before, after his ACL tear, so I'm not super concerned with his injuries or his injury history, you know, outside of just the position. So I'm really looking forward to his addition, and I don't know, I think of all the signings, this is the one I'm most excited about.
I think it's hard not to be excited about what he can do on the field. Obviously, he was on a very inept Giants team, a very anemic Giants offense. So I think it's going to be awesome to see what he can do with a stronger offensive line alongside better offensive playmakers and Devontae Smith and AJ Brown, better quarterback and Jalen Hurts. So, like, I think there's a lot of offensive upside, but I don't think it's without some risk. And that's like obvious. I know that's been talked about. Like, it is a lot of money to commit to a running back who has a good amount of mileage. The Giants were not like judicious in his usage. They kind of had nothing else going on. So they really did like rely on him heavily, but I think he's had some injury concerns here or there. Now it appears that he's back on better footing last year. So I do think, like, I'm like cautiously optimistic about the signing. It was mostly unexpected, in my opinion. Like, we both kind of talked about the rumors in our last recording, and I was like, there's just no way that this happens. And there was kind of like, everybody says that like Howie doesn't value running back, but actually, like, if you look at recent history, that's just not true. And it's like they really like Shady, and they paid Shady. And I was like, that's just so long ago. Like, we've been in such a kind of patchwork running back situation for a long time, from Doug Peterson era on, and they've kind of made do with, the Jordan Howards, the Blunts, kind of guys that were unspectacular but could perform above expectations because they had an amazing offensive line. So I'll still say that I'm still like actively surprised they made this move, but to your point, I think it's probably the best signing they could have made to really add some offensive juice to that side of the ball. So I'm intrigued. I do like the rivalry of, like, this giant leaving and signing with the division rival. The whole Tiki Barber thing was kind of funny. I do feel bad that like that kind of ruined like Saquon's like exit. And I think he got like caught up in like the emotional side of it because Giant fans felt betrayed, and obviously that kind of was the best first impression Eagles fans could have with the guy leaving New York. It was like shit talking the fans, and like they're not saying he was doing that to the fans, but like that was kind of the impression the fans got. Like, he took the bag and went to the rival. Now the other like really weird thing was like the whole James Franklin, like what he said, Saquon said to him, and like the tampering allegations that I think, like, if that was Pro Football Talk kind of kicked up with like poor analysis. I don't know
Are
how
they
much of
still
that you.
investigating that?
So I haven't, they haven't said anything about it being cleared, but like in my opinion, there's just nothing here. Like, I can't imagine Howie Roseman would break the rules of engagement. And like the whole thing here was like they weren't talking to Saquon prior to legal tampering. They spoke to him when the rest of the league could start talking, which was in the legal tampering window. Now, the rule in question, if it was broken or not, was did Howie Roseman speak directly with Saquon? Which is a no-no, but also kind of like dumb and not like a big deal, in my opinion. I know that that's the rule, but any communication from a team has to be through the player's agent, unless that agent is, or unless that player is representing themselves. So to me, that feels like very nitpicky. I really do think James Franklin just probably misspoke when he was saying what Saquon heard through his agent versus what Saquon heard himself. So that's already been like cleared up by Saquon, and obviously he's going to say that to cover his own ass and like make good on his new team. But like, there's no way this is going to come back on anything. Like, Howie's not that dumb. But I did think that was kind of like, oh, or Giant, like the Giants fans, like, oh, are we going to get like draft picks? It's like, no, he was a free agent. This wasn't like Howie talking with Saquon during your exclusive negotiating window, because you couldn't sign this guy. But anyway, I like it. Like I said, I don't think it's free of concerns, but like you said, Howie's good with the money. Saquon's health seems to be on the up. And I mean, theoretically, he's going to be a great part of this offense, and I'm excited to see that. Like, he's going to bring some serious juice and like highlight reel type stuff to this offense, which really could have used it at the tail end of last year.
Yeah, and it's a 3-year deal, so you know, if he starts to decline over 3 years, we'll have this season and next season for, you know, I feel like, injuries aside, for running back to decline, it's more in the cutting and making guys miss of it all, and he's already a good blocker, so I think there's other parts of his game that will decline slower, you know, more slowly than other parts. So I think if he's not the most electric over the course of the contract, he'll still be a very useful and productive player in a number of areas. So I think it's a good contract, and the money, you know, the cap's just going to keep going up. They already have a lot of cap room. They still have a lot of cap room now, which, you know, in 2026 they won't as much, but I think it carries over. So if they don't use all the cap space this year, they'll just have more next year and the year after. So the money I care a little bit less about, and I think over the next 3 years, with Jalen's contract increasing and everyone else, the next 3 years is sort of like a big window. So I'm not upset that they would take a swing on a, you know, injury prone position, but not necessarily player. It's just a lot of upside with him as well. So I don't think we have to spend nearly as much time on the rest of the signings, but yeah.
Let's talk about what the Eagles did at safety.
Yeah,
because we knew that was a big position of need. And shortly after the Barkley news broke, it was the Eagles were hot on the trail of Xavier McKinney. And it sounded like it was going to happen. It really did. Like, I think there was, like, some reports that, like, it was official. And, like, I think somebody even said it was, like, already on over the cap, like, the numbers. But the Packers end up paying top dollar to McKinney on a 4-year deal for 68. So I think that was a little too rich for the Eagles. So we were kind of sitting on like some big news for maybe a night or two. But then the news broke that the Eagles welcome back Chauncey Gardner-Johnson on a 3-year, $33 million deal. So CJ GJ back in Philly on a pretty agreeable contract. I think what was initially reported is now, and this kind of goes across the board, like what you first hear is like the max upside reported from the agent. So it's not going to be 11 a year. I think it's closer to like something like 7 or 9, but he's coming off a year where he had a big absence from some injury. I'm forgetting if it was like a torn pec or something like that.
Yeah, it was a torn pec. He played, I believe, only 3 games during the regular season. And you know, I it's exciting. I think it shows the Eagles think they made a mistake letting him go. They clearly decided to correct the mistake of letting him go with you know, re-signing him. I think he brings a lot of juice to the defense, which was pretty much you know, a total pushover the second half of last year, most of last year, honestly. He's not the best tackler. I think he's a flashy guy that can make a lot of plays, that can spark the defense. As far as like consistency, I would like them to sign or draft another defensive back or linebacker. I think the middle of the field is like the biggest concern for me, because I think if you can shore up safety and linebacker a bit more, then if you're rolling with James Bradbury and Darius Slay, like they'll have more help over the middle. And I think it just makes their lives a lot easier. So, you know, I think it's a good signing. I think he's a solid safety. His advanced numbers aren't amazing with the tackling and with the coverage. I think he was lower in the league in or middle of the pack in coverage as well. So he's an exciting playmaker that can be like a somewhat of a leader on the defense. I think those things are important, and for that reason, I think it's a good signing, and he's an exciting player. But I do think that him and Blankenship being the two starting safeties might create issues, especially with CJ GJ's injury history, because you know he missed the few games with the Eagles the year before. So I do think they need to make more moves at safety, but I do I like the signing. I mean, he's an exciting player. He had seven interceptions with the Eagles. He's still like top safety interceptions last 2 years after only playing three games. So, you know, three regular season games last year. So he's an exciting player. He's a fiery player. I think he fits the city well. You know, he did address his comments about calling Philly fans obnoxious, and I thought that that was very funny that he re-signed here. I mean, I like it. I don't have any complaints. I just think that they may need more, but it raises the ceiling. The ceiling was pretty low last year, so he raises the ceiling. He's a solid player. He has upside in the playmaking ability. And I mean, I know we're talking about him, but the Devin White signing I think is exciting as well, because he's a former first round pick. He's, you know, Super Bowl champ. He's younger. He's been great in his career. I think he had a down year last year, but the Devin White and Chauncey Gardner-Johnson signings I think are really good for the middle of the field, but I do think they need some more help as well. So I don't think it solves all their problems in the middle of the defense, but it addresses them, and it shores a lot of that up. So both the Gardner-Johnson and the Devin White signings I think were really solid. And I'm curious what they're going to do in the draft because of that. But I don't know what other players of caliber that they would sign at safety or linebacker. I think Justin Simmons is still available, and there were a couple bubblings up last week about the Eagles still being tied to him. So I feel like he might be waiting out the best deal. He could be like a post-draft signing. You know, if he waits too long, I would think that he might take a deal right before the draft. So, you know, Justin Simmons could
I
still be
just
in
think he
play.
wants to start, though. Like, where would he get snaps in this Eagles secondary?
Justin, I feel like it would be Simmons and Gardner Johnson, and Blankenship would be the third safety.
Well, I think that I don't know if they would want Blankenship to be relegated, but I also just don't think they're going to want to pay what Simmons is commanding. Like, from what it seems like, he's just
he wants more snaps,
and I don't think the Eagles could offer him both of those.
I think they could offer him the snaps. I think it's the money is the issue.
Yeah, right.
But
that's, yeah, real quick on Devin White. I think
that's why he's not signed. So
yeah, so Devin White, I think this is like it's one of the more exciting flyers the Eagles have taken over the past, you know, 4 or 5 years at the position. Now, I think that needs to be graded, like, on the scale of their appetite for paying linebackers. So I think Devin White, he's got some question marks still. Like, he lost his starting job with the Buccaneers at the tail end of last year. He does have that draft pedigree, but it seems like Todd Bowles kind of doubted what he was capable of. He's very athletic. He's got, you know, the sideline to sideline speed that rarely have Eagles linebackers had in recent history. So I think that's exciting. To me, it really just seemed like they picked the best guy of what remained after all of, like, the, like, exciting linebackers were taken. Like, it was clear that the Eagles did not want to pay a lot or make any significant commitments. Like, it was a one-year deal for $7.5 million. Now, I think that's probably lower, and that's the max. But I think it's a good flyer, and I think it's a decent roll of the dice for that position. So I think he's got some warts, but who hasn't at that position group for the Eagles in recent history? I think it's
right.
I do like that he's young and he's athletic, and that's a good start.
Yeah, I think he's better than what they had last year, or at least hopefully. You'd hope he'd be better than guys they signed off the street, even though Zach Cunningham did have a number of good games. But I think, he's exciting. There's upside there. You know, he could be bad, but I really like the signing. He was one of the free agent linebackers that I wanted them to consider, so that was good. Mm-hmm. Just quickly going through the other signings, they signed from the former Saint linebacker Zach Bond to a one-year $1.2 million deal. It's more of a special teamer. It might mean Sean Bradley's not coming back. I think that's a fine signing. I don't really care that much. They signed
more of a pass rushing linebacker too, not a guy who's going to be asked to drop into coverage as frequently. So I think his signing's even like a peek into what we can expect for the Fangio defense. Like, it does seem like they're making a more concerted effort to go from a 4-3 to a 3-4. Bond more of like an outside linebacker than an on-ball guy. He had a good year last year in like a limited capacity, so I think he's like an interesting guy. Think of him as like, you know, a guy that they're probably hoping can jump Patrick Johnson in the depth chart. So I think it was an interesting name. He was a former third round pick, so he's got some draft pedigree.
They signed former Temple Owl lineman Matt Hennessy to a one-year deal. Feels like he was, I believe, hurt all of last year, most of last year. He's a guy that would be lineman depth, especially losing Sua Opeta to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and Jack Driscoll to the Dolphins. He's a depth piece that I could see getting cut or in training camp or just making the team. So, sensible signing, cool that he was an owl. That's about it for me. They signed
Yeah, and real quick, he center or guard, so they haven't had many guys who could reliably snap the ball, but Matt Hennessy, I feel like that is an effort in at least getting another center to back up, presumably Cam Jurgens if the need arises.
They signed wide receiver DeVante Parker, former Dolphin and Patriot, to a 1-year vet minimum deal. It seems like, Quez Watkins is a free agent. Hopefully they don't re-sign him. I think Parker's could be, he's been disappointing in his career, but I think he could be an okay third option. Especially with a better quarterback, he's had. I don't remember who he had in Miami, but he's had Mac Jones the last few years. So he's a I believe Y receiver that can go deep. He's big. I think he would be a good addition if he can prove himself. But I think he
He's like the
is
new
like.
Julio Jones.
Yeah. I think he has like a really bad drop rate too, or something like that. So, when one Quez Watkins leaves, another one arrives. So we'll probably be frustrated with him, but I think a new face at that wide receiver three position may be good. And I remember wanting to sign him a few years ago, so I got my wish.
Yeah, and while we're at wide receiver, let's talk about like the one of the newer pieces of news, and that's the Eagles signing Paris Campbell to a 1-year deal. Former Colts wide receiver. He was a I forget if he was a first or second round pick, but he was there when Nick Sirianni was, I believe, the wide receivers coach, so they have some history there. Also the connective thread of Paris Campbell versus J.J. Arcega-Whiteside when the Eagles are drafting, and that was a second round pick, right?
Yeah. So,
Yeah, so I
he's
forget what
been
year that was,
disappointing,
but we finally
but
get this is like the Mariota connection, but a year later we get the Paris Campbell. He's quick, speedy. He had a bad year with the Giants last year. 2 years ago, I think he had like over 600 yards with the Colts. So I think he's a good like depth guy just to see if he's still got any juice left. So yeah, Eagles making some like tiny depth wide receiver moves similar to like what they did with Olamide Zaccheaus last year. Now let's We mentioned DeAndre Swift leaving. You mentioned Stoll and Opeta. Or sorry, you didn't mention Jack Stoll. He goes to the
No,
Giants.
he goes to the Giants. Mariota signs with the Commanders for a 1-year deal, and that rounds out all the departures.
Yeah.
You mentioned Kevin Byard, right? Signed with the Bears 2 years,
Right.
$15 million. So, Byard, Swift, Mariota, Stoll, Opeta, Driscoll all sign elsewhere. I think the biggest notable unsigned Eagle free agent is Avante Maddox.
Right.
They'll probably wait on that. They did sign a nickel corner, Tyler Hall, to a 1-year deal, and PJ Mustafer, another defensive tackle, was undrafted last year. So those are the departures and signings. I think the biggest other news was the Eagles trading for Kenny Pickett, which, he was the starter in Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh's signs or trades for Russell Wilson, then they trade for Justin Fields. So Pickett, was the odd man out. I mean, the Eagles traded for him before the Fields trade, I believe, but he comes to the Eagles. The Eagles send out a third round pick and 2 7th round picks, and they get Kenny Pickett and a 4th round pick. So, Kenny Pickett, backup.
Yeah, so pretty much what they give up for pick it, like when you cancel out everything, it amounts to like a late fourth round pick. And I forget exactly what Justin Fields gets traded for. I think it was something like a late fifth or something in that ballpark. So Pickett does appear to have more league-wide value in direct comparison to Justin Fields. Now, Justin Fields is on the last year of his rookie contract. Kenny Pickett still has 2 more years left, so I think it's clear that the Eagles value his what remains of his rookie contract, the 2 years remaining, at I think like something like $2 million a year. So it gives them a cheap backup for the 2 years. It'll be competition, obviously, for shoot, forgetting his name all of a sudden.
Tanner McKee.
Tanner McKee. So kind of a bummer for Tanner. Eagles presumably wouldn't want to have a QB that they wouldn't trust, who's making that guaranteed money. But Kenny Pickett, I'll be honest, I didn't know much about him. Never really paid too close attention to him, but it seems like he has starting experience, extensive starting experience. He was a first round pick. Pretty unspectacular at quarterback, but he doesn't throw a lot of touchdowns, and but on the other hand, he doesn't turn the ball over that frequently. He is kind of like a game manager, and I think his if you want to look at what he did with the Steelers, like they weren't terrible with him. But I do think that's a testament to like Mike Tomlin and the Steelers defense. So it seems like he can just like kind of be trusted to not like fail miserably. Like he's not going to just like self-combust, which is a good thing if you expect him to be a backup quarterback for any amount of time. So I'll say didn't see this one coming.
Neither
This
did
one
I.
felt like it was like a lot of big news for something that isn't that important, but obviously, like if something happens to Jalen, like the Kenny
Yeah,
Pickett
I think it's
ascent, it's gonna
significant.
be like a something.
It's significant if Jalen misses like 2 to 3 games. If Jalen misses any more, I don't think the backup outside of Nick Foles really makes much of a difference. I think, you know, pick I don't expect Kenny Pickett to carry the team into the playoffs if Jalen misses significant time. But if he's in there for, you know, 2 or 3 games, I think I would feel as, if not more confident than Mariota last year. So
Yeah,
that's you know,
it's
I
reminiscent of the Minshew when they traded for
yeah, yeah,
Minshew.
yeah. I
Obviously,
think
different
that
picks, but
yeah, that would be my expectation, but he could be better. I mean, the only thing I really knew about him was his hands were small.
right.
So, you know, I think the book on him you mentioned, he doesn't turn the ball over that much. I think the knock on him is his accuracy isn't that great. But, you know, it might make a big difference with the O-line and the weapons that he has here versus Pittsburgh. So it'll be nice to see. He grew up an Eagles fan. That was cool. I didn't watch all of his press conference, but he mentioned all the players he watched growing up, which were, you know, the same players that we watched growing up. And that part of it seemed pretty cool. He grew up going to Eagles games, so he seems excited to be here. I think it's a unique place given his how where he grew up, with any, you know, disgruntled reports coming out of Pittsburgh. He sort of denied that. He wanted a trade, or he wasn't happy. He didn't want to compete with Russell Wilson or this or that. So I think any other team you might be concerned, but the Eagles, he does seem to have a connection with the team. And he mentioned how his family and friends had to go out to Pittsburgh for the last few years to watch him play, so now they won't have to do that. So he just seemed happy to be here. And I thought that that part was pretty cool. So we'll see on that. We have Hassan Reddick to monitor as we get into draft season. Any final thoughts?
On the topic of Kenny Pickett in comparison, the Commanders traded Sam Howell. Obviously, they're anticipated to draft a quarterback with their first round pick. They traded him to the Seahawks for like a similar trade package. Would have loved Sam Howell instead of Kenny Pickett.
Yeah.
Especially given what he was able to do against the Eagles. Like,
I feel like that just never works out.
Specifically Eagles tape, like they would have given up like a second round pick.
Yeah. I just feel like that just never works out for any Philly team to trade for the guy that killed you.
Yeah.
And they just suck, but yeah, would have been nice to have a bit of a cheaper guy, maybe a longer term backup, but you know, hopefully Kenny Pickett works out as the backup. So we'll be back before the draft. We might have one podcast before our draft preview, but we'll be back sometime between now and the draft for sure, which is about a month away. So exciting bit of football news to come up the next few weeks. In the meantime, for Mike, I'm Ian. Thanks for listening.